Welcome to The Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of The Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. Today's guest on The Cigar Peg podcast, we welcome Val Grubb to The Cigar Lounge. Val,
how are you today? I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
I am awesome. I'm so glad to have you here. And I want to start by asking you a question of, just tell us all a little bit about what you do. Tell us a little who you are.
All right. Well, I have had my own company. I've been out on my own for 14 years. And I specialize in helping companies grow their bottom line through increasing their employees' productivity. I do that through keynote speaking, I do training, I do corporate coaching, typically more at the executive level. So that's what I've been doing for the last 14 years.
Awesome. Now, do you work alone or do you have a team? What's your situation?
I do have a team. I have four folks who report to me or work for me, I guess I would say, all on contract. But from like the delivery, that's all me. They're more support role, delivering workbooks, sending out books, following up the clients, that kind of stuff. Social media, all that stuff that I don't really want to deal with.
Got it. So they're the people out there making you look good so you can do your thing.
You got that right. There you go. And I'm grateful every day that they do what they do.
Well, there's a lot of us that know you or we have an idea of what you do. For those of us that are familiar with you, tell me something that we wouldn't know.
Oh, my goodness. God, there's so many things. I'll have to think about what to share. So I live in New Orleans. A lot of folks know that. I am a hardcore costumer and glitterer. So I do some hardcore crafting, which I think a lot of people don't associate with me. You know, I speak on tough subjects, leadership, telling people how to get their shit together, and then to turn around and crank out a beautiful hat to wear is or glittering some glittering toilet plungers may not exactly be what people think I do in my spare time.
So when we see you on Facebook wearing one of those highly decorated hats and adorned and blinged out in New Orleans style, that's something you made?
Indeed, I do. Yes, that's I ride three crews typically, three Mardi Gras crews. Like I'm the Mardi Gras queen. I can tell you that.
Well, let me ask you that. Speaking of the Mardi Gras queen, what brought you to New Orleans?
You know, I had lived in Manhattan for 18 years and I just loved it. But at some point I got tired of all the people. I got tired of, you know, getting in the subway and almost getting into a fight and like, just, it's so flipping expensive. And I thought, I was ready for a change. And I thought, well, you know, do I want to move to Brooklyn? Do I want to move somewhere? And I thought, man, I'm not moving off this island. But I thought, well, let's open up the world. And where have I been that I've really, really enjoyed? And New Orleans was at the top of the list. I've never had a bad time here. It's like the party capital of the world, or certainly of the US. It's so different. I'm still a bit of a partier, to be quite honest, Joe. Like I believe in, you work hard, you play hard. And this city leaps up and embraces that. And I've come to New Orleans more so than any other city in the United States, or actually the world. And I thought, bag it, man, I'm single, no kids, no plants, no pets. If I don't like it, I'll move again. But let me come down here, see what it's like. I gave it 6 months and I knew in the first month that I had made the best decision I'd ever made.
Awesome.
I mean, there's lots wrong with it. Don't get me wrong. You know, you just look right below that surface and there is a lot of challenges in New Orleans. But it is most definitely like I feel at home here. And even in 18 years in Manhattan, it always felt transitory to me. But here feels like home.
And you had me at beignet. So
beignet, Sazerac, alligator. I mean, the food is off the charts. In fact, we haven't even talked about the food. It's just this jus de vivre of life. Like it, and that's my whole philosophy in life, is that this isn't a dress rehearsal. To every day has got to be a day that you've got to have fun. Awesome. Yeah. And this city embraces that.
That's beautiful. The city that gave us three food groups: beignets, churches, chicken, and oysters.
Exactly.
Val, let me ask you this. If you, sitting where you are right now, if you could give advice to your 16-year-old self, what would it be?
Let me see. Advice to my 16-year-old self. I think that I wouldn't have taken things so seriously. I think that, and I think everybody goes through this, that, you know, you're just so earnest and hardworking and everything else. And I don't know, you get to, and it's all set me up very well. I've loved everything that I've done. But I just think I would have taken more chances, just relax and just take more chances. I mean, my undergrad was in mechanical engineering. I worked for an aircraft engine manufacturer, Rolls-Royce in Indianapolis. And I knew I didn't really want to do it, but I kind of listened to my parents and the pressure and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, 11 years later, it's like, I was so tortured to quit and move out to California and pursue a dream of being in television or film production. And I agonized over it. I cried. And it's just, I guess my 16-year-old self, I would just say, lighten up and move sooner. Because that's what's caused the most joy and allowed me to really figure out who I am and what I love, is because, you know, I tried the engineering thing and loved it, and then didn't, and moved on, and then went into television production and helped to found a couple companies, Interactive Corp for Barry Diller. It was more of a digital. We started out in television, then went digital. We bought Ticketmaster and Expedia and all these other companies. And so I was with him for 3 years, and then he moved me to New York, and I helped to found the women's cable channel, the Oxygen Channel. And then we sold that. And at that point, I went to NBC Universal, the company who bought us, hated it. And that's really what drove me to go out on my own. So I guess what I would say, again, I think to reiterate to my 16-year-old self, is just lighten up, enjoy the ride, and try lots of different things. I applaud this generation that stays at a company 2 years. It's about getting out and exploring and seeing things and trying different things. And that will make you and help you figure out what brings you joy, on a day-to-day basis. And if we don't try lots of things, we may not find what really kind of unleashes that creativity in ourselves. And so that's what I would say.
All right. No, and let me ask you this. You said you really hated it, and that's when at NBC, and that's when you decided to move on. Was there a specific moment in your mind where you look back and say, that was the moment that I had
100%?
What is that?
I was a little nervous about going back into big corporate America, because I'd worked for big corporate America, you know, hundreds of thousands of employees at Rolls-Royce. And that's what IAC ended up being. You know, we were anywhere from 200 to 500 people at Oxygen Media. And now we're bought by NBC Universal, who at the time was owned by General Electric. One month into taking this job, working for a boss who I had heard a lot of sketchy things about, but the job just seemed more exciting. 1 month in, I'm in a car going across the GW Bridge from Manhattan to Englewood Cliffs in New Jersey. And I thought, oh my God, if this car plunges off the GW bridge, do I have to go into the office today? And I thought, hold on, that is not me, because I get up every day and fiercely attack the day. I'm excited because I'm alive and the day is now. Today is right here. And I knew right then I was truly dreading my day. And I knew at that point it was time to move on. And I think, and the interesting thing, back to your original, you know, the question you asked a couple minutes ago, I listen more to myself now. Like I knew right then, before I would agonize over this, oh gosh, what am I doing now? Not now. I knew right then. And I was like, I'm right. This job is not for me. I hate this guy I'm working for. It's torture. He's a complete ass. And it's time to go out on my own, which I was thinking about doing when Oxygen was sold. And I just got this monster job title, monster money, working for NBC Universal. And I just got kind of caught up in the glitz and the glam of that. And so I had smartly, before I took the job, I had negotiated in my contract a 6-month out. So, I mean, I'm an at-will employee. They can fire me at any point they want, but I could opt at 6 months to leave. And we already had my severance negotiated. And so at that 1 month, that turning point, a turning point where I really listened to my soul, I said that I would quit at 5 months and 30 days. And I would take the next 5 months to get set up in my business, figuring out what I could sell to people, what were my strengths, what's my pitch, how am I going to get that first client, what's going to make somebody talk to me, and really hone that craft before I just jumped. And I sucked it up. And I'm telling you, that was the longest 6 months of my life. But I knew that there was something better at the end of it. And I was ready and had my first client before I ever gave my boss my notice. And so I was ready to rock and roll. And it just turned out, like, I walked out of that thing. I walked out of my boss's office and wept tears of joy. Like, I was that happy and excited about getting on with the rest of my life.
Awesome.
Long-winded answer. Sorry, baby.
No. Hey, this is what happens when you interview speakers. I have an easy
okay. Really, so what I've learned is, you just really have to listen to yourself. Well, if something's not right, listen to that voice inside.
And let me ask this. Listening to your voice inside, realizing you had a plan, and you planned very well for your escape hatch.
Yeah.
You knew
I've done that with all three of my, every time I've made a career transition, I rarely do something, you know, kind of half-assed, or I mean, I plan stuff out, and each career change that I've done has taken anywhere from 6 months to 18 months so that I'm ready to step into something new.
And when you escape that, when you pull that hatch and escape after the 5 months, 30 days, you said you already had a client lined up. And I want to ask, from that moment, how long did it take you to see success and know that you made the right move?
Well, interestingly, my business has morphed. So I went out on my own September 1st of 2008. If you recall, that's when the market crashed. It was incredible. And so my business actually started out as I was doing operations consulting, meaning helping companies, primarily entertainment companies, that were going through some sort of M&A event. So they were either going to be sold, so we were peeling them out of the parent company to make them their separate entity, or they were sold and we're pulling them out, or we're integrating a company in. And so really for the first 5 years of my life, that's exactly what I did, was more mergers and acquisitions, coming in, reporting to the CEO, helping set companies up to be standalone or merging them into a bigger, because that's what I did at IAC, at Interactive Corp. Every time we bought a company, it was my job to merge them in. Same thing I did in helping create Oxygen. And so that really was my focus. And that was, it was staggeringly successful because I had a great reputation. A lot of people knew me as somebody who from a back office can set up a company to run efficiently from anything that's not related to sales. And so that really, and from that standpoint, I was successful from day one because I went straight into Madison Square Garden and Game Show Network and just one company after another. And I would do seven, nine months, year-long consulting jobs. And then once the economy really started getting improving, now these same clients were asking me, hey, do you have any ideas on how to improve our employees and improve our leadership? And so I really had to look at, because now my consulting business was dwindling. And instead what I'm getting are these questions on how do I elevate my leaders? And you know, one of my clients said, how do I make a bunch of Val Grubbs running around here? And I laughed and I'm like, I think that may be a mistake. And he said, yeah, you're probably right. So I really, at that point, morphed my company, and this was actually before we sold Oxygen Media. I had started my speaking career. Let me take a step back. I'd started my speaking career at Oxygen. Then I went out on my own, focused on consulting, did a little bit of speaking, Sherm National, that kind of stuff, but really was focused hardcore on the consulting. And then I just sort of doubled down on keynoting and on speaking and training. And at that point, I felt like I was starting a little bit over. But by then, I knew what I wanted. I knew how much I wanted to make. Back to your question about, you know, how did you know you made it? I make it every year because I set a goal, a financial goal, of how much I want to spend, the vacations that I want to do, the stuff I want to buy. And you know, I don't necessarily want to be a millionaire, but I want to be able to buy the things that I want to buy, and go on the world excursions that I go on. So that's how I define success, Joe.
And that's what I was going to say. Now, so saying that success is, well, basically we're back to your comment about working hard and playing hard.
Yeah.
And realizing that your work is driven by the amount of fun that you want to have.
Agreed. That's okay. Exactly right.
So the question I then have is the fun truly the source of your inspiration, or is there something else that inspires you in dark moments?
Well, I think, you know, it is fun to come in and see those moments, speaking from a work standpoint. When I think back about what have been my best moments in business, my best moments in business are when I saw the folks who work for me exceed even their own expectations of themselves. And that's because of my ability to motivate, engage, and kind of unleash that leadership and that management and their skills and ability from a business standpoint. I truly would say, I look at Anthony Guerrero, who worked for me. He's now a COO at a company, and he just interviewed for a CEO position. Like, so many people who have worked for me have far exceeded even my roles within corporate America. And that to me is what's been has just been staggeringly awesome. Well, okay, and so for me, it's that joy. And look, I'm a gal who loves to have fun, but man, I love it when I connect with somebody and see that I've unleashed the potential in them.
Well, and I realize, I mean, I'm hearing this ongoing desire to tap into people to make them better than they were and relish.
Not even better than they were, but it's better than they think they can be.
Than they think they can be, yeah. And then glow in what you've done.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you say if you had to narrow it down, what is your magic bullet that allows you to tap into the hardest of people to tap into?
I can connect with what they, I can help them figure out how to achieve what it is that they're trying to do. Because so if you are a CEO who's looking to set up your company to be able to sell it for lots of money, I can help set up the company, the back office operations, which is all the overhead stuff, so that it doesn't become a drag on the company and instead makes it more more desirable and easier to sell it. If you're an employee who wants to tap into moving from manager to director, or director to VP, or VP to C-suite, I'm that person who can come in and help you see a path for you to do that. And I think that sometimes people they want it, but they're not sure what that path is that's going to get them success. And I wouldn't say that I would make a great CEO. I guess I'm CEO of my own company, but I wouldn't make a great CEO because I'm not, my vision is in if you have a crazy idea, I don't have limits on how to accomplish that. And so I can help, I'm a great number two because I can help somebody see how to do that with their company. And I can translate that into how you, with your skill set right now, I can help you take those steps to get to that next level, even if you can't see them. And so that most definitely is sort of the secret to my success and why I can tap into, you know, why I can tap into CEOs that are tough to break into, or employees that just don't see it in themselves, because I can see the potential and they can't.
All right, let's take a turn.
Oh, all right.
The turn is, what is the biggest mistake you've ever made in business?
Oh my God. Biggest mistake. Gosh, Joe, there's some that I couldn't even come back and tell you. I'll spill one. So 25 years old, I've been put in charge of, it's been long enough. It's been long enough now. 25 years old.
The statute of limitations.
Right? Exactly.
Yes, come on.
So 25 years old. I am negotiating architectural services we're building a new aircraft engine test stand. We're down to two final vendors. And I go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. And this company, boy, I'll tell you what, they see me coming a mile a minute. And the son of the owner of the company put a full court press on me. And let's just say we had a very lovely evening. So the next day, the CEO calls me up and says that they're going to, and tries to blackmail me into picking their, ensuring that I sway the contract to go to them. And basically he flat out tells me that if I don't sway it, if they don't get a pick, then they're going to share with my bosses that I slept with his son.
Oh God.
So, yeah, I mean, this is hardcore. Like I am so out of my depth.
Yeah.
I've just graduated, you know, I'm out 2 years. I'm still not even paid off paid off my student loans. So I fly home and I am literally shaking. Like I am so upset. I can barely breathe. And I am anticipating that I'm going to have to go in the next day and tell my boss what I've done. And it's going to cost me my job. Like I know that, but I gotta fess up. And so I called a dear, dear friend who had much more experience in business than me, met me for a drink, 10:30 at night. And I'm like, you know, this, I explain everything. And he's like, do they have pictures? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. And he's like, no, no, no. Did they give you pictures? And I'm like, no. And he's like, then they have nothing. It's their word against yours. You walk in there in that meeting, you string them along. And when they come in next week, you look them straight in the eye and say, do you have anything else to add to this? He said, they do not own you. And that is exactly what I did. They never brought up anything. They did not get the contract, never brought anything up about it again, never heard anything about it again. When the meeting was done, I went out and threw up, because I was so, so afraid. And I learned just a, you know, just a real staggering lesson there that you don't, you know, this is a staggering separation of sort of play, you know, work hard, play hard, but you got to be careful that the two can't mix. And so that was probably one of the biggest lessons that I've learned.
Let me interrupt.
The biggest mistake, to your point.
No, and that's, yeah, it's a mistake. But the reason I ask about it as a mistake is, from that experience, did you learn something about yourself that you never thought was true?
Oh, my God. Joe, I just never thought that I would be able to get through that.
But like, you found out you could.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that I was so narrowed on, this is the path that I have to take, and I've got to be righteous and all this and tell them. And in the end, it was about being able to see other options. And I never thought I would be able to go in there and go toe to toe with somebody who with somebody in this situation. And this person, Bruce, unleashed it in me.
Right.
And I knew right then that that was my goal, that I needed to unleash amazing in other people. Again, when they don't think they can do it, you can't. You just got to take a different approach to it.
Well, and you learned when your inner soul and your heart were at risk, you learned through the strategic business dance that many wish they could do.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's great.
Yeah. Never have I mixed business and pleasure again. I can tell you that.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to smack me upside the head too many times before I learn.
I think that's a lesson a lot of people need to learn.
Right?
Yeah. So that's great.
There's no red line. There's no skeletons in my closet outside of this, which I guess I've just outed. So
there you go. Now you have no skeletons left. There we go. It's called the Cigar Peg Purge.
The podcast.
Yes, the Cigar Peg Purge. Let me ask you this. If you had 10 times the amount of money in your budget, what would you do tomorrow?
I would go on a trip around the world. Unequivocally. I don't own a lot of things. Like, things are not important to me.
Right.
But I have been some amazing places. I've traveled to 39, 40 countries, many, many more countries to go. And that's exactly what I would do. I would travel. I would take a year off and just go travel.
Okay. And assuming that you would be able to travel with the next question, what career or occupation would you love to have tried in your life that you didn't?
Actually, this is my next pivot in my career. I didn't get the itch out of my blood for being in entertainment. So I've written two nonfiction books. I want to write a fiction book, and I want to produce either a TV show or a movie that's based on something that I've written. I haven't done it yet, but that's my next, it's next up, queued up onto the list. I'm going to say TBD.
There you go. And that's a perfect way to end, because now you're on the hook.
Yeah.
Now, let me do just a real quick finale, shall we say, is just if you could give us a little statement, where can people find more about you and connect with you if there's something that we talked about that they say they need to explore more?
Yes, absolutely. So please feel free to reach out to my, if you would like to connect with me, please feel free to reach out to me on my website, valgrubandassociates.com. I'm on Twitter at valgrub. I'm on Insta, valgrub speaker. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on all those rascals. So definitely social media is a great place. Also my direct phone number is on my website as well. So feel free to reach out and text away.
Well, Val, I want to thank you very much for being in this Cigar Lounge. And I'm glad you were here. And I think everybody's going to have fun listening to you because you're always fun.
I like it. Fun, little trouble. I like it. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for this opportunity, Joe.
Thank you, Val. And this is Joe Crisillo. And this was Val Grubb in the Cigar Lounge. And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.